It's the Dave Graham Show on WDEV FM and AM.
We're back, and want to introduce my two guests we have on for our second segment of the program this Friday morning, October the 2nd. We're going to be speaking with two people from Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. We have Emily McKenna. She is Communications and Marketing Coordinator with the CVH H&H, and we also are going to be speaking with Amy Bissette, who is a registered nurse and manager of telehealth at the home health agency. And I wanted to start with welcome you both to our air. I really appreciate you joining me this morning. Howdy.
How are you? Good morning. Thank you.
I'm doing well. I wanted to check in with you first, Emily, if I could, and find out a little bit about. I see that you normally, in normal years, which this is far from a normal year, have an annual fundraiser called Seasons for Life. That is not happening this year, I guess, and you have some some ways of trying to work around that, or what's going on there?
Yeah. Well, Seasons of Life is our annual fashion show, dinner, and auction, and it's our biggest fundraiser, our annual fundraiser in terms of proceeds and just kind of in terms of the caliber of the event. Last year was our 20th anniversary. This year is the 21st anniversary of Seasons of Life, but you know, many of your listeners probably have attended. We have 200 or more people at the Capitol Plaza. There's a fashion show, there's a dinner, a live auction. It's just a great in-person event. And obviously because of the pandemic, it was not feasible. So, we decided to cancel the in-person event, but still, you know, give people an opportunity to support us. So, we decided to host a telehealth fundraiser to raise funds and awareness for our telehealth program.
And tell me about that. When does it happen? What does it involve?
Yeah, so I think the letters to the community went out last week in the mail. So our director of development and members of her team put a letter together and sent it out and kind of explained that we had to cancel the event. And we've been, you know, promoting it. We've got commercials and we've got content and kind of information on our website. But I think the development team is going to be doing a lot of the legwork to reach out to sponsors who have supported the fashion show in the past to see if they'd like to support the campaign. But we are also hosting an online auction at the end of October and into November. And I just want to plug a couple of the packages that we're going to have available. So some of the fashion show sponsors who have, you know, dressed the models on the runway, they're giving us gift cards, and I think we have $1,000 worth of gift cards at local vendors for a shopping spree for someone.
Wow.
And, yeah, so that will be one of the auction items. And then the second cool one, there's a local writer, Archer Mayer, and he will write the name of the winning bidder into his next novel. So that's one of the other packages, which is really cool. So those are just two of the items, and I know our development team is working on, you know, getting more items, and we'll have information on our Facebook page and website when that goes live.
Wow, so you can either really have a nice boost to your wardrobe with that...
Or be memorialized in literature.
Or be memorialized in a novel. That's either one of those would be quite
that's
a treat,
so cool.
I think, for a lot of people. So that's pretty awesome. And the telehealth events, are there particular dates you're doing this, or what...
I don't know when So the campaign is ongoing in October and November. Our minimal goal is to meet... to raise $40,000, but I've talked to our development director yesterday, and I'm pretty sure we're going to exceed that. I think people are excited to support Seasons of Life and the telehealth campaign. And the online auction will go live in October at the end of the month. So I would just say, you know, if you're interested, we'll definitely be reaching out, but to check our Facebook page. I want to say quickly just one piece about why we selected, you know, telehealth as the focus of this campaign. And, you know, Amy and I can both talk about why it's such an amazing program, but Medicare, who is one of the insurance providers that, that reimburses us for providing care, doesn't reimburse home health agencies for providing telehealth services. And the majority of people who are enrolled in our telehealth program have Medicare as their primary insurance provider. So
makes sense.
Right. So as you know, we are a mission-driven organization, and we're going to provide care regardless of someone's ability to pay. So it just made a lot of sense to try and, you know, try to raise funds for this program, which is growing, and there's so much opportunity to expand it so we can do that at less of a loss.
Boy, I would think there'd be somebody out there lobbying pretty hard in Congress and maybe in state legislatures as well. To well, since Medicare is mainly a federal program, it would be Congress, but pushing to try to have telehealth included in Medicare coverage. I mean, it's sort of the coming thing in many respects. Also, I would imagine that in the long run, there are reasons for which it might even be a more economical delivery model, right?
I think it is a more economical delivery model for kind of not just us, but for a number of different providers. And it's Medicare does reimburse for the service when it's like a physician in a medical group practice, but they haven't yet. So it's not kind of blanket no reimbursement. But when it's home health agencies who are providing the care, the telehealth care, they don't reimburse us yet. And I think they recognize the value of the program certainly, but you know, they haven't caught up yet, and we're full steam ahead with it, and so that's partly why we're having this this campaign.
And I would gather, well, let's bring Amy into the conversation. Amy Bissett is a telehealth manager at CVHH&H, also a registered nurse. And Amy, I've actually had some interesting conversations over the past few months. Every now and then I check in with folks involved in Vermont's court system. And finding out how they're sort of coping. And one of the things they've told me repeatedly is that there was talk earlier on before the pandemic, and not just talk, but actually some initial experimentation and stuff with trying to bring technology to bear into court proceedings and so on, maybe do some hearings online and so on and so forth. But the pandemic has really sort of put the pedal to the metal on a lot of this stuff, and has forced the court system in their case to suddenly go from, you know, sticking the toe in the water to diving in. Have you had a similar experience in home health?
We have. When the pandemic hit, really back in February, we were forced into changing our mode of providing care. Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, we've had the telemonitors in place for about 11 years, but there really hasn't been a real big need, so to speak, you know, to move it forward at a fast pace. But with the onset of the pandemic, we were able to, and luckily we did have the monitors in place already, and so we were able to very quickly switch from the nurses doing in-home visits to utilizing more of the virtual visits through the use of the monitors and other applications like Zoom or DoxyMe, and provide care that way. So it's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful transition, and you know, we're seeing a high utilization right now of our monitors out in the field. So it's been exciting.
Now, I would gather that I'll also ask the devil's advocate question here, which is. In many cases, there's immense value in having, a nurse or someone, a professional go into the home of one of your patients and actually look around and look at the patient. And that is harder to do from, you know, basically a Zoom meeting or another type of computer meeting. How much does that matter? Would it make sense maybe to do, you know, a once a month actual physical visit and then weekly televisits, or how does that all play out?
Well, telemedicine, we are used as another discipline with the home health team. So we are in place along with the nurses who actually go into the home. Mm-hmm. So we work in concert with the other clinicians, and we partner with the patients in their home to provide this care. We are able, people are surprised at how much we are able to really assess and care for the people through a video conference with them. I had one situation about a month ago or so where a son phoned up the agency, and he was concerned about his mom, and his mom did have a telemonitor in her home. So I was able to do a virtual visit, and the tablets, they're about the size of an iPad, and he was able to hold the iPad so I could see his mom and have a conversation with her. I could see that she was short of breath. He was able to show me her legs and depress on her legs and show me that she really had some increased edema. We were able to get her into cardiology that day, and I really believe we saved her from having to go to the hospital.
Wow. That's a success story. That's
that is.
And I guess that is so basically you can do a video pretty detailed and intensive show me the gout on your elbow or the edema on your legs or whatever. has got to be really valuable, especially when you have a developing condition that you might otherwise not have caught if you didn't have that opportunity to look at it even virtually.
Exactly. And, with this pandemic, there's a lot of people who really don't want to drive and go into the physician's office. For fear of what they might catch, what they might be exposed to. So with the telemonitor in the home, we are able to have them check their blood pressure, weigh themselves, check their oxygen level. All that data is transmitted to this tablet in the home, and then it's transmitted to us. And so the patient is able to do all these things from the comfort of their home. They don't even have to get dressed. I mean, they can just wake up, check their blood pressure, and send it to us. We're able to really keep an eye on all this data and look for those small changes that might mean that they are heading into an exacerbation of their disease. And and catch it before they do have to be hospitalized.
Yeah, that's a real benefit. And I also imagine that for your staff, your nurses who, in years past have just been driving hinder and yon in all kinds of weather, all over your service territory. Oftentimes on the dirt roads way out in Cabot and Worcester and et cetera. Are you saving on mileage?
This is Emily. Yeah, I think it's definitely saving on mileage for those last minute visits that would need to happen. Our nurses are still driving and they're seeing the care. And I think it's a really great complement to the in-person care that's being provided. So it just gives us that extra opportunity to connect with someone and to put eyes on if we're using the video visit functionality. I think one of the other cool things about the telemonitor is that they come uploaded, the devices come uploaded with educational videos about different conditions. So the person is able to get to understand their condition a little better. When we install the telemonitor with the person, we train them on how to use it, and we connect them with Amy almost immediately, so they know there's this person on the other end of it. It's not just the iPad. There's a Amy is there for them if they need it, which is important, I think.
Right. Well, I know a lot of older folks in particular are still pretty. I have family members who wouldn't. They're not on the internet. They're not. Just not into that whole scene. So it's interesting. Still generational divide. I must say some older folks are really, really right up to it, but others just
super
haven't.
I have to say though, we have being in home health, the majority of our population is older, and I have yet to meet any individual who hasn't been able to use this device. It is so user-friendly. I've had people who like to video with me every day, people who you never would think would be able to use this technology, and they're able to do it. It's been very interesting.
That is interesting, and maybe that's could be, who knows, their introduction to internet technology, and you know, next thing you know, they're on Facebook with their grandkids or whatever.
Exactly.
So there we go. Hey, we need to take a brief break here on the Dave Graham Show. We will be back in just a couple minutes.
News Radio WDEV FM and AM. Now back to the Dave Graham Show.
We are back, and my guests are Amy Bissett. She's a registered nurse and telehealth manager at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. Emily McKenna, the marketing and communications coordinator at CVHH&H, also is on the line with us this morning. And we're talking about telehealth services. And Amy, I wanted to ask you, when we hope this will happen sometime sooner rather than later, but eventually we think this pandemic is going to wane and that things will start to sort of level off to some maybe new normal. And I'm wondering if you will look back on this 5 years from now and notice that in 2021 you were using a lot more telehealth than you were in 2019. As in, will this become part? Maybe I didn't explain that very well, but is this going to become part of the new normal, sort of a greater reliance on telehealth going into the future, even after the pandemic?
Yes, we believe wholeheartedly that it will. You know, one of the reasons that we believe so passionately in telemonitoring is that we really do believe that it keeps people home, safe, and out of the hospital. Telemonitoring can really be used for a number of different people with different conditions, but we primarily use it for people with heart conditions, hypertension, CHF, if they have any respiratory issues like COPD. Those are the people that we see tend to go to the doctor a lot and, you know, unfortunately tend to be hospitalized a lot. So we really do think that by having them check their vital signs and by partnering with the patient, again, in the home, they have certain questions that they have to answer that are disease-specific that will help us to look for those small little warning signs, little changes that, again, might indicate that they're getting a little worse. So, you know, unfortunately, diseases are not going to go away anytime soon.
They're not, and I think also the desire to want to stay at home, especially as we see kind of shifts in our demographic, in the demographics of our population, people want to be at home. You know, I think no one wants to go to the emergency room or go to the hospital. And I think partly what the pandemic has shown us is that there are lots of different opportunities to use telehealth for people. So I know that our maternal and child health team used it to support women who were pregnant and who had just had a baby after they got home from the hospital with lactation support and kind of other care needs. And our rehab therapy team, our PTs, our OTs, and our speech and language pathologists could use the video visit functionality to provide visits, fully remote visits, and also to provide check-ins in between visits. So I think, and you know, the technology is really expanding in terms of what can connect to the telemonitor and what we can do remotely. So there's never going to be a replacement for the hands-on in-person care, but I think this will be used to provide a lot more and more robust complementary and supplemental care for people.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit ago about the about nurses driving out on the rural dirt roads and so on.
Yep.
These places tend to be often the last to be served by strong broadband access, and I'm wondering, obviously, telehealth requires a good internet connection, right? Are you running into that this is a limitation these days, and is this more impetus for the state or local communities to build out broadband?
Yeah, we certainly are in favor of broadband across the state. Fortunately, the company that we have used to provide the monitors is called HRS, Health Recovery Solutions. And these tablets come with a Verizon SIM card, so it's just like having a cell phone. What we have found is that most places do have a Verizon signal, so we are able to place the tablet in the home, even if the person doesn't have any Wi-Fi or broadband. We also have a tablet with an AT&T card in it that we are using to see, in those areas that don't have a Verizon signal, can we still reach them using AT&T?
So yep.
Are there? Is there? Use them.
Right. I mean, is there a percentage that where they just don't have good cell service and that's still a gap, or what do we think?
I have seen it, this is just a rough guess, probably in only about 2% of the people that we've tried to put it in. So we've been very fortunate with this.
Yeah, lower than I would have expected. Mm-hmm. That is good news.
Too.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation, but unfortunately we're about out of time, so I've got to wish you well and farewell. Amy Bissett and Emily McKenna of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, I've really enjoyed talking with you this morning. Thanks for filling this in all about telehealth and telemonitoring. It's great talking with you.
Thank you. Have a good day.